Are you going to go through life being conquerable, or are you going to go through life being unconquerable? It really is your decision. It's your choice. You literally can choose the life you want to live. And it's scary. It's terrifying. It's terrifying to have that power and to know you have that power.
You're listening to the Profit First for Lawyers podcast, the official companion show to the book Profit First for Lawyers by R. John Robbins. Now, this podcast is for you if you want to bring home more profit while working less hours in the office, spending more time with your loved ones doing the things you actually want to do, and turning your office into a lean, mean, profit-breathing machine. So if you're tired of working for your law firm instead of your law firm working for you, stay tuned for some really practical insights that will get you the results you've always wanted. It's time to put your BS aside for the next few minutes and put yourself, your family, your firm, and your profits first. Welcome back to another episode of the Profit First for Lawyers podcast. I'm your host, Carly, and today we're exploring the topic of growth, and not just as in, how can I continue to grind and to grow as quickly as possible for an unknown purpose just so long as I grow? But really what we're talking about is what the very predictable stages of law firm growth are and how those will add additional opportunities and challenges for you and how to decide what kind of growth you want to pursue so that you can live the life that you want to be living. Now, I found a clip from April 2016 where R. John asks a question that kind of made me sit up a little bit straighter in my seat, and I want to play it for you now. So here's R. John. He's on stage in front of hundreds of law firm owners, encouraging them to reject their self-limiting beliefs and posing a very important question. Let's roll the clip.
Are you going to go through life being conquerable, or are you going to go through life being unconquerable? It really is your decision. It's your choice. You literally can choose the life you want to live. And it's scary. It's terrifying. It's terrifying to have that power and to know you have that power. And your mind is going to start to play tricks on you. And you're going to start making up all kinds of reasons why you can't grow your firm to $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $7 million, $10 million in revenue. You're going to have reasons to explain why all the other attorneys that you've met who have done it can do it, but you can't do it. You're going to have stories. You're going to have excuses. You're going to have justifications. Your subconscious is going to be doing a trick on you. And what's worse, you're going to become complicit in it.
I got to sit down with Nicole Hanscom, Director of Special Projects at How to Manage a Small Law Firm, and someone who has led more workshops and classes on strategic planning, growth management, conflict resolution, and leadership development than anyone else I know, or that I know of. Now, this interview really opened my eyes to a lot of the ways that growth can both challenge and reward us. And if you're a law firm owner, you especially want to pay attention to this conversation, because Nicole is bringing up data from thousands and thousands of law firms that has been extrapolated to show the very predictable, very consistent, very reliable stages that we know law firms go through as they grow. And this should get you really excited, because this insight is basically going to be your crystal ball to the future. And I guarantee you that it will be intensely profitable. Let's take a look. Nicole, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome. Thank you for being willing.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here, actually. I was bragging about it. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, that makes me feel warm and fuzzy today. Thank you. I know you obviously have a really interesting and fun background. Can you maybe talk a little bit for our listeners? What specifically interested you in law firm growth?
What's really maybe might be interesting, law firms are the only place that I ever worked, except for the brief time that I hung out my own shingle and did consulting work for law firms. My first real job was at the public defender's office when I was 16 years old before I went away to college. And then I continued working at the public defender's office. So I've worked with lawyers since I was 16 years old. It's really the only industry I've ever worked in, save, you know, some bartending gigs here and there.
Wow. Yeah. I had absolutely no idea. So what is it about the law field that intrigues you?
You know, when I started at 16 and I was, you know, going to change the world, I think, I knew it was going to be lawyers that were how we were going to change the world. I knew that all of the social justice, the economic justice, the helping to rewrite laws, helping to pave the way to make life better for people, it had always come from lawyers and had always come from lawyers making good trouble. And that's what I really wanted to do.
Oh, I love that. Oh, the definition, making good trouble. Oh, that is fun and so true too.
It is. And then I started to learn we can get out there and make as much trouble as we want as individuals, but you're standing in the town square and you're screaming your message through a straw. And so I learned very quickly that we had to have groups of lawyers and we had to galvanize people to action, and we had to inspire not just lawyers, but their clients. And so then it became using law as the way to change the world, not as one individual fighting a fight at a time, but as big groups fighting against the systems.
Yeah. Oh, that is such a powerful image too. I've never quite thought about it that way, right? Where you have one person only standing in town square screaming mm-hmm. into a straw. Oh, that sounds a little bit frustrating, to be honest. But wow, what?
It's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, when I met R. John Robbins, when I was introduced to how to manage, because to be clear, up until that time, my life had been dedicated. I focused my time, government law firms, nonprofit law firms, profit, actually was kind of a weird feeling. It was a dirty word. It felt guilty. It felt all of these things. And once I got very clear about what profit was and about how money and time and your professional goals and your motivation, none of it mattered if you couldn't connect with your audience. None of it mattered if you couldn't connect with the clients you could help. None of it mattered. And so profit became about how do we exchange something that we value less for something that we value more? And how do we keep these law firms growing? And not just the law firms, but the people that run the law firms. That to me became more exciting than the law firm itself. The law firm became the conduit, a means to an end. How do we help inspire and motivate and keep moving the people who run these law firms? Because that's who's going to change the world. And that's the part that I think excites me so much about law firm growth and what we do for our members and what the people who work with How to Manage a Small Law Firm do.
Nicole, that is so beautiful. Oh, I really like that. Yeah, that is so beautiful. What a really beautiful goal. So today, obviously, we're talking about the stages of a law firm's growth and kind of the challenges and opportunities that occur within each stage. Can you kind of give me a rundown? How many stages are there? And then let's dive right in into each individual stage and talk about those challenges and opportunities.
That sounds great. And I brought you guys a graphic so that everybody can see the different stages of growth. They're pretty predictable. They're pretty reliable. I typically work with people at the very low end of the law firm growth and then up at the high end towards the middle. Those seem to have been my sweet spots in when I provide individual one-on-one advising with people. So when we talk about the first stages of law firm growth, and we've broken these up into bands, and we're going to talk about gross revenue, right? I'm not talking about profit. I'm not talking about any other financial measure. Just typically when we're talking about the gross revenue of a law firm, we can look at it so that it almost looks like a magic trick where you can tell me what your law firm revenue is and I can tell you the problems that you're probably dealing with and the opportunities that if we can get you through that level and to the next level.
Okay, so for those who are not watching this on YouTube, can we do a quick rundown of each of the kind of revenue frames Yes. within each of these stages?
So when we're working our way up to about $250,000, $0 in revenue to $250,000 in revenue, that's at the creating stage. You are creating a practice. And I'm going to be really intentional about the words using practice from business, mm-hmm. because at this stage, it's you. You are at the center. You are pushing all of the buttons and pulling all of the levers. It's your vision. It's your values. It's also your elbow grease. This stage, and I'll be perfectly honest with you at How to Manage, we try and get you through this stage as quickly as possible because it's all you, right? And so this is where if you stick around in this stage for too long, $0 in revenue to $250,000 in revenue, you start to believe that this is where you're going to be forever. Burnout becomes your new normal. Being on vacation with your family, if you get to go on vacation with your family, but tied to your cell phone. Clients calling your cell phone, clients texting you personally, leads texting you personally. The longer you stay here, the more you start to think that's normal. And the more you start to think that that's what your life has to look like. And so our goal is to get you to, and we also have a nickname for this phase, zero to $250,000 in revenue. We call it hustle, market, sell. Mm. Because you are going to sell your way out of this phase. You are going to sell your way into the next level, which is how to upgrade your practice to a sustainable business. The focus at this level becomes team building. Who can you add to help you get certain things done? And my favorite part when I was a COO working with people, where can I fire you and hire your replacement? There was no prouder day for me than firing the owner of the business from being their own receptionist. You, my dear, are fired. You're an excellent visionary. You're a great lawyer. You're a horrible bookkeeper. You're fired. And then getting them in the resources that they needed to do the job and do the job well so that they could build a life they were happy with. You know, that's what we're focusing on. And so becoming a business instead of a practice means we're starting to build the bottom of that pyramid, a big, strong, solid foundation that we can build the rest of your business on. And that's what at about $250,000 to $500,000 a year in gross revenue, that's the focus. Then we move into $500,000 a year in revenue to $1 million in revenue. And you'll see we keep going up in about $500,000 increments, right? That's breaking the seven-figure barrier. That's getting you through $1 million in revenue. And if I can, I'll come back and talk about that. But just to like finish out the phases, at $1 million to $1.5 million, we really need to dial up your marketing machine. We need to start marketing in new and different ways to keep the growth going and to keep the momentum going. At about 1.5 to 3 million, we start looking internally into your law firm again with a focus on how can we bring real live, grown up, bona fide professional management into this business. So we call it insourcing your COO. At the next level, 3 to 5 million, we're focusing on insourcing your financial expertise, your CFO. And at the top end, $5 to about $10 million. And yes, we can keep going up, but at about $5 to $10 million, we're helping people decide whether or not they want to be a full-time CEO of their business. Do they want to leave their business entirely or go start a new one? Did you discover a love of entrepreneurship that now that your business is a high-functioning, well-regulated, well-oiled money-making machine, do you want someone else to run it while you go start something new? Or do you want to keep running this and sit in the CEO spot? So that's kind of, it's broken up into zero to 250, 250 to 500,000, 500 to a million, one to 1.5, 1.5 to three, three to five, and then five to 10 million. And pretty predictably, pretty reliably, we can help you move through these levels in about 18 months.
18 months between levels.
There's a special spot at about 1.5 million to about 3 that I like to call law firm puberty. It's just, it's all awkward. It's very uncomfortable. It stops being fun again. Like, you know how I said our goal is to get you from 0 to 250 and get you out of it as quickly as we can?
Yeah.
The next time that we really are like, let's build up some momentum to get us up, out, and over this milestone, it's that $1 million to $1.5 million phase. We want to get you up, through, and over it.
That is so...
So you can go back to having fun.
Now, how did we kind of figure out what these stages of law firm growth is? I mean, obviously, we work with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of law firm owners, and Arjun has coached thousands and thousands and thousands of law firm owners, right? What is special about these particular stages that made us earmark them as a specific stage?
There's no real difference between a $500,000 gross revenue law firm and a $600,000 gross revenue law firm. There is a difference in the infrastructure between a $500,000 law firm and an $800,000 law firm. So I'm not sure where the degree comes from. I think it's more about the momentum and the trajectory. Yeah. And if you think about what the monthly revenues look like and what the monthly expenses. So one of the things that we like to do for planning is we don't look at you static at a moment in time. Instead, we look at the 90-day cycle. What's the next 90 days looking to hold? What's the next 90 days going to bring us? And in doing that planning in 90-day cycles, you start to see where your opportunities are. You start to see where what new personnel we might need on staff, or what personnel we might need to retrain or maybe help succeed elsewhere. We look to see what marketing is working. We look to see where our clients are. And I think that those just sort of became the easy to remember breakdowns, milestone points of where we started to see people's opportunities and challenges shift into what we like to say is new level, new devil. We started to see.
Oh, that's fun.
You know,
new
it's
level,
very
new devil.
It's very optimistic. But it's because I don't want anybody to think that once you break $1 million, you've arrived, right? Your life at $1 million law business versus an $800,000 law business is not much changed. But if you see $1 million as a point in a marathon, not the destination of your sprint, you start to look at life differently. And I don't want anyone to think that you're going to arrive at success. And instead, you've always got something to learn. You've always got a new challenge to overcome. There's always a new opportunity out there on the horizon for you if you want it. At about every $500,000 is where we started to see new opportunities start to arise for members.
Well, let's dive into that a little bit, because we talked a little bit about 0 to 250,000, right? Which is basically get out of this as much as possible.
And sell, baby, sell. Yes.
Sell, baby, sell. I love that. So let's talk a little bit about stage two. What are some of the challenges and opportunities in stage two? And then let's kind of go through some of them, especially in those early stages. I think the majority of our listeners, so far as we can tell with the data, tend to be in those first four-ish stages.
And in your first stage, you're making a lot of profit. A lot of profit, because you have no expenses. You have no overhead. It's like you and a laptop against the world, right? You also have no sick leave. You also don't get a lot of sleep. You also have no balance. And so that's why we want to, you have a lot of profit percentage-wise, but you're not making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we want to move you to that next level, because realizing that what got you here, what got you to $250,000 in revenue will keep you stuck there. So we want to get you through, and we start doing that by adding people. We start doing that by getting you to learn how to delegate, how to work with a team. That's the real opportunity for growth there. From $250,000 in revenue to $500,000 in revenue, you might make a smaller percentage of profit, because now you have to have a place for more people to sit. You have to have technology for more people to use. And You have to buy them office supplies and you have to pay their payroll. But the money you're making is actually more because they can do things you can't do. So you're making more gross revenue. You might not be taking 70% of it out of the business anymore. Maybe you're taking 50, but it's more money in your pocket at the end of the day. You are no longer the mule for your business, the one doing everything. You're learning how to accomplish things through a team. And that is a huge opportunity, is to learn how to get things done through other people. That's also where systems come from.
Yeah, and start to delegate some of those things that you're just not as good at, you know?
Or don't like.
Yeah, or don't like, right? I do not enjoy answering my own phone.
I don't. A lot of attorneys that I work with will start deciding at this phase, I only want to work with some of the clients. I only want to do some parts of the case. I don't want to do all parts of the case. So we're helping them learn how to lead other lawyers. And this is where we're starting to build a good, solid infrastructure underneath them. This is one of the parts of the business where a COO, an operations manager, somebody who can help you focus on people and processes starts to become really, really important. That's how you get up and out of this into the next level.
Okay, so the first level were sell, sell, sell. Level two is infrastructure, people.
People, people, people. The next level is going to be all about your systems. It's going to be about executing your systems, learning that systems run your business and people run your systems. What we've discovered at this level, what we're up and we're on our way through the $1 million mark. We're going to smash that seven-figure barrier. We've hired. We've got some technology in place. We're spending money on subscriptions. We probably have to spend money on an office because we have to have a place for the people that we've hired to sit. If you're not watching your profitability at this stage, you really start to notice where profit will leak into your business. And so if you're not watching profitability, if you're not watching the really important expenses for your law firm, if you're not making sure that every expense delivers you a return on your investment, that your money's not making you money, if you don't watch it, you will end up taking home the same amount of money. So at a $500,000 firm, I took home $200,000 a year. I now have an $800,000 law firm and I'm taking home $200,000 a year. We're like, where did that go? You get back into feeling chained to your business again. So we take a real close look at profitability. This is where it becomes essential for business owners to get a handle on their metrics, to learn how to manage their law firm using a dashboard, to learn what the indicators mean, to learn how to look at the most important key financial reports that come out of their business and use those as tools to help tell the future. And so that's a real strong focus at this next level. It's learning how to up level. And yes, lawyers, I'm talking about numbers. Don't tune out. Don't turn it off. You can learn how to read reports and read a dashboard like a story, and to see the story that it's telling about your law firm and how your law firm's performing, and to make sure that you have not become chained to your business and that you're not working just to pay other people's salary, because that's not why any of you got into doing this.
Yeah. I imagine too, that probably is so frustrating. What a frustrating time if you see all of your additional profit disappear, because, you know, I imagine it might even feel a little bit stagnant.
Yeah.
It feels like it hasn't changed between, you know, 300 to 800.
And you feel like you start to get in a mindset of, instead of the mindset you have at zero to 250, which is like, I don't think I could do this. I don't know how to do this. This isn't possible. If you sit at the other level for too long, you start to feel like, I don't even want to do this. Maybe this is possible. Maybe it's possible for other people, but not for me. This isn't very fun. I'm going to constrict. I'm going to give up the things I want, and I'm just going to go backwards. So that's the other reason we try and get you through this level, as quickly as possible so that we can get back to having fun.
Yeah. You know, we did a great episode with Sherry Mansell, who's the director of bookkeeping that does not suck. And she talks about the 7 financial reports that you should be taking a look at. And she breaks it down. It's plain English. It's very easy to understand. And yes, in Arjan's book as well, if you're listening and you have a copy, chapters 13, 14, and 15 go pretty detailed into the different kinds of financial reports that you could have on your financial dashboard that will be of great help to you. And I promise it's not boring. And there's not even too much math in it, right? It's just, Arjan says, you know, you don't have to be a mechanic to know that when your car's check engine light comes on, that it needs some attention, right? You yourself don't have to be the one under the hood fixing the car. Your dashboard is meant to tell you check engine, and then you go and bring it to your financial advisors and say, what does this mean? Let's fix it.
Yes. You know, and learning how to read those reports, I always, trust me, I grew up around lawyers. I'm a recovering lawyer. Like, let's be clear. I grew up around lawyers. I became a lawyer. I now work with and help lead lawyers. Numbers get a whole lot sexier. And I didn't say math. I said numbers because I do think there's a difference. But numbers get a whole lot sexier when you realize how much money they can help you make. And when you can just embrace that I can tell the temperature of my business. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be surprised every month by like, oh, what's going to happen next month? It starts to become really predictable. And we can start to make your cash flow very reliable by just, it's been said that what you manage is what grows, right? What you pay attention to is what you start to see growth in. What you pay attention to is what you start to understand. And so avoiding your numbers can pretty much guarantee that they're going to screw you. But embracing them and reading them and getting out in front of it and at least trying to understand them is how you can start to really, really have things fire on all cylinders for you. And that's where we start seeing people at this level, right, past $1 million onto 1.5. This is where we start seeing people truly going on the vacations that they've always dreamed of going on, living in the houses that they've always wanted to live in, sending their children to school where they've always wanted to finally explore private school. This is where you've got some staff in place and you know your payroll and you're not being surprised by it. So you're able to plan, I want to chaperone a school field trip. And you're able to like take that time out of the office, disconnect, not be on your cell phone the whole time, be fully present with your kids or your significant other or your dog or whatever it is that you want to be fully present for. This is the level where you start achieving a lot of those dreams that you've been thinking about and toiling away in order to be able to accomplish. This is the level where that starts coming true.
I love that too. And I think, okay, so we're first stage, sell. Second stage, people. Third stage, financial controls, for the love of all that's holy. And fourth stage is kind of seeing the bigger results of that labor. And not that you don't see any of it in the first three stages. I mean,
right. You get a taste. And a lot of people choose to stay at this level that we're talking about. A lot of people, a lot of businesses, I think I read somewhere, fewer than 10% of the small businesses are going to get past $1 million in revenue. And a lot of people are like, okay, I think I like this little life. I think I'm good. And that's wonderful. So now we can work on helping you keep it there and helping you enjoy that life and helping you see those things. And then there's others that say, hey, now that I've climbed this mountain, I see that there are other mountains on the other side. And I would like to know what's up there or what's over there. And so if you want to keep growing, once you get past $1 million in revenue, if you want more or different, then we start talking with you. So this next range at like $1.5 million, we start talking with you about different kinds of advertising, different kinds of marketing that you need to start doing. Under $1 million, very consistently, predictably, reliably, we can get you there without you spending very much money at all on marketing. It's relationship marketing. It's who do you know? Who do you trust? Who knows you? Who trusts you? When we want to move past 1 million, 1.5, we start talking about some different advertising techniques, some different marketing. This is where we really start exploring with digital. This is where we really start talking about different resources and different action plans, different campaigns that you can run. Because we're getting beyond and we're talking to people who don't know you, who have no reason to trust you. So how can we introduce you to more people and introduce you to a bigger audience? So that's that next level.
Hey guys, a quick interjection for some gratitude today. Like, I really appreciate the time that you spend listening to these episodes and sharing them with your friends. I wanted to ask, if you've been getting a lot of value out of them, will you please do me a favor and rate and review us on whichever platform that you're listening on now? I personally would love the feedback, and that will also help us continue to reach new audiences. And if you want even more content, make sure to sign up for our weekly newsletter that I personally write, after all. And you can do that on our website at profitfirstforlawyers.com/action. And now, back to the show. I think that leads us to step 5. Now we're on stage 6.
Okay, so from 5 into 6, this is when we're bringing professional management into your team. And I'm just going to talk about both of these put together. Because one, we're going to start with the operations. And then we're going to move on to the financial expertise. So under $3 million, above 1.5, you want to start looking at really getting somebody who specializes in how to run a business. You are the expert, the absolute expert in how to build your business to $250,000. You know how I know that? Because you did it. You know exactly what you did to do it. You probably know how to build a business to $500,000. You just do more of whatever you did to get to 250, and then you hire and you have some team. When you get to about $1.5 million and decide that you want to go to $3 million in revenue, I'm here to tell you it's not just getting to 1.5 again. The game starts to change, and you have to... I think this can be best explained with an analogy.
Yeah.
You have played around. You've been in your... What's the tallest mountain in your state? I live in Florida, so that's not even a fair question. So I'll just go... I don't think there is a tallest mountain in my state. So I'll go to Georgia. Right? So say I go to Lookout Mountain and I've climbed it on my own. I figured out how to do it. I've packed my own lunch. I've fallen down. I've scraped my knee. But I've climbed to the peak of this mountain and I did it on my own. So now I look around and I'm like, okay, I'm ready for Everest. Hopefully somebody who cared about me would grab me by the shoulders and say, are you insane? You don't know what it takes to do that. And hopefully somebody who loved me would say, get a Sherpa. They're this people. They're specially trained to lead people up the mountain. Like, I'm not sure if you've seen all the boots on Mount Everest, but all of those once represented really motivated hikers.
Oh, no.
Who just couldn't make it to the next level. And I don't want you to be boots on Everest, right? And so you need somebody who loves you enough to grab you and shake you by the shoulders and go, it's not climbing to Lookout Mountains. You're not just going to climb this mountain and then go to the bottom and climb it again and suddenly achieve your goals. It's a new altitude. It's a new world. And so you want to start looking at finding people who know how to do it and finding people who have not only done it before, but done it a couple times and can help you through it. And so that's what the next levels of growth are all about. The next levels of growth are about learning how to get comfortable being uncomfortable. The next levels of growth are about learning how to not be the smartest person in the room. You don't have to be the best lawyer. You don't have to be the best COO, the best operations person. You're never gonna be. You can't be all things to all people. So be the thing that you are better than anybody, which is you, which is have your vision, know your mission, know your values. Start figuring out how to really tap into that in order to galvanize people to do this thing that you wanted to do and let some other professionals guide the back end of the business while you are opening up new avenues, opening up new resources, learning new ways of marketing. Let somebody else watch the back office. Make sure it's running. Make sure it's profitable. Make sure that the people are doing the right things at the right time in the right way. You just work on working with them, you know, the professionals. And so that's what the next two levels of growth are really about. Operations and people and insourcing that expertise, and then financial operations and financial controls and profit and insourcing those operations. The next level is the most fun.
Oh, okay. So we've climbed Mount Everest.
We've climbed Everest, and we think to ourselves, do I want to be a professional mountain climber, or do I want to sit here on Everest for a little while? Maybe I don't want to climb mountains. Maybe now that I've climbed mountains, what I want to start doing is exploring the ocean. Maybe I want to go to space. I want to see how much higher I can get. And so at this next level, it's really figuring out, what do you want to do next? Do you want to keep running your law firm? Do you want to stay as the CEO of your business? Or do you want to hire a CEO to run your business? Do you want to cash profit checks from your business? Do you want to manage the dashboard for your business, but spend your time going to space, starting another mountain climbing business, exploring the ocean? You get to decide about, do you want to be the CEO of your business, or do you want to just transition into being the president and founder and go find something else to do? And that, I think, is the ultimate freedom, right? Like, you actually get to choose how you want to live the rest of your life according to your values and your vision. That, I think, is the opportunity that's really fun working with these business owners.
I think that kind of reminds me, you know, Arjun talks a lot about, I think I'm going to butcher this, but he said that his mentor had told him once upon a time that you have to live your life the way that most people won't, so that you can get to the point where you can live the way most people can't.
You didn't butcher it at all.
Hey, I got it. It took me a few seconds there, but I thought that that was so impactful. And it kind of reminds me of this stage, right? Where you've done the work, you've invested in yourself, you've invested in your team, you've invested in your business, you've invested in your clients, right? You're helping more people, you're making more profit, you've gotten to the top of Everest, and now you've lived the life that most people won't. And now you have the opportunity to live the way most people can't.
That's it. Oh, I got goosebumps. Yeah, that's it. Those are the seven stages of law firm growth. And I'm telling you, it's pretty predictable. The things that happen at each of the stages, we can probably sit down and play a game, and you could throw out, you know, when do all your associates try and stage a coup d'etat? I'd say that's 1.5 million. When do all of your staff decide that they need raises and they're going to boycott? That's 3 million. Like, we can tell you, when do I run out of people that I know, like, and trust? That's 500,000. You're going to have to start building a bigger network. Like, we could almost play a game, like, shout out your business problem. And we can tell you where it typically starts to happen. And we know before you get there, designing some systems or some stopgaps to put it in place so that you're still going to get the headache, but maybe it's not a migraine.
Oh, I really like that. And, you know, we had just spoken with immigration law firm owner Becky Moriello, who talked about, you know, every opportunity being gift wrapped in a problem and kind of those problem tunities. So I like that too, that particular game, right? When is this thing going to happen? And then also, where is that opportunity wrapped within this particular problem to kind of elevate, that I can use as a springboard to get to the next thing?
Like, know it's going to come, embrace it, roll with it. It's almost like surfing. We know it's going to happen. Let's do what we can do to make it the best ride. And then let's paddle back out, and we'll get better. We'll get stronger, and not bitter, better. That was not a Freudian slip. We'll get stronger and better every time we do it.
Yeah, we're going to ride the wave as it crests. Oh, I really like that analogy too, Nicole. Okay, Nicole, I have one last question for you. And this is one of my favorite questions. I love to ask this one. And it is, what is one thing that you've done in the last year, in the last 12 months, that has brought more profit to your life, where profit, of course, in this case means exchanging something you value less for something you value more?
My answer, I think, is going to make our John very happy. I know it's going to make our estate planning lawyers who are listening to me very happy. I spent money to go get an estate plan.
Oh.
And so when my son was little, I had a will, right? My parents were both alive. They were young. I knew if anything happened to me, they could step in. I had a will. Now that he's an adult and my life has changed and we own more property and I rescue pit bulls, I realized that that will isn't going to cut it anymore. It doesn't really take care of my son. It doesn't really take care of my dogs should anything happen to me. It doesn't take care of my house. It doesn't take care of my husband. If my husband passes, he owns a business. Oh, by the way, that he built and listened to every How to Manage a Small Law Firm crash course. He went to and watched live quarterly meetings. You know, some of the perks of, I guess, your spouse working there. But using How to Manage a Small Law Firm, he built his glass business to over $1 million. So when I say that that we know these things work, we're not just talking about for law firms. They work everywhere.
Incredible.
Back to profitability. I invested in myself and I invested in my family and I invested in my future and I gave up some money to get something I valued more, which is being able to go to bed at night and not be worried about what's going to happen when the inevitable happens. So that, I think, is the most profitable thing I've done in the past 12 months.
Oh, that is such good advice. And a great reminder to me that Arjun has also been harping on me to get my estate plan done, and I have not done it yet. So thank you, Nicole, for that reminder.
You're very welcome. He's going to ask you about it. I already know that.
He's going to listen to this episode and be like, Carly, we talked about this like 6 months ago. It has been enough time. Nicole, it has been so lovely to have you on today. I really got a lot out of this too. And I hope that it will offer a lot of hope to the people who are listening, to the law firm owners who are participating in this podcast, that, you know, the specific opportunities and challenges that they're in. And maybe if they've just had a growth spurt and are feeling the, wow, what just happened, right?
Yeah.
Maybe this offers a little bit of hope that it's very predictable and the world is not ending. And
no, it's just
you're
beginning.
Growing. Yeah, it's growing pains.
Yeah, it's just beginning. And you'll get to the top of this peak and then you'll move on to the next one. Or you won't. Or you'll stay where you are and
enjoy the view.
Enjoy the view.
I love that. All right. Well, thanks so much again, Nicole. If anybody has any additional questions for Nicole, or if you want to play that game where you throw out, when is this going to happen, right? Go ahead and send us an email at podcast@profitfirstforlawyers.com. And I will make sure to ask Nicole for her opinions. A headache instead of a migraine. Okay, look, these are some of the very predictable, very consistent, very reliable stages that we know law firms go through as they grow. And as Nicole mentioned, if you know what's ahead, you can cut out some of the pain from those growing pains, and you can make more intentional decisions, hone your own focus as you continue developing your business plan. It's your life. Will you be conquered or unconquerable? And that's what we've got for you today, folks. Stay tuned next time for even more great content that will get you the results you've always wanted. We'll see you there. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Profit First for Lawyers. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, tell a friend. And visit profitfirstforlawyers.com/action to download the resources that are going to help you put these concepts to work for your law firm. Your future self will thank you for it. And we will see you next time.